Okay, so we're going to learn tonight the halachas of mezonos and pasul baba kisson. So, just want to say that next week the shiur is going to be on Monday night instead of Tuesday night because of PTA, and it'll begin at 10 to 8, and end earlier. So, also next week we won't do a new topic. Rather, we're going to do a question answer session, trying to review all the things that we've learned, so we can try to internalize some of them. Okay, so this week we'll discuss the halachas of mezainos and pasul baba kisson. Meaning to say, we'll discuss how do we determine what's mezainos and what's not. We're talking about, we had discussed in the past the halachas of ikra and tafel when you're eating mezainos together with other foods. But today we're going to discuss when a particular food has mezainos ingredients, like, for example, gefilte fish has mezainos ingredients, licorice having mezainos ingredients, and various other things have mezainos ingredients, as flour or oats or so on and so forth. When does that render the whole food a mezainos, and when does it not? But then we're going to discuss what exactly is pasul baba kisson, and what, in what way does it differ from other forms of mezainos, like macaroni or pasta or donuts and etc. What are the differences in halacha? What do you have to know when you're eating pasul baba kisson? And lastly, we will discuss how much do you have to eat in order to be able to make an alamichya. What's the shear? Okay, so let's begin with how do you determine whether something is a mezainos or not? What, so the question over here, number A on the sheet, is when does flour or grain ingredient make a food mezainos, and when does it not? So qualifications. There are three qualifications that you have to know when flour or a grain ingredient will make a food a mezainos and when won't it. So number one, the first thing you have to know, if flour is added into a mixture for the purpose of giving it flavor. So whenever flour is mixed into no matter what it's mixed into, if it's mixed into any sort of food in order to give it flavor, so it doesn't make a difference what the quantity of the flour is, regardless of how little you put in, but if it was added for flavor, and that's one of the ingredients, one of the main components of the food that you're making, it will make it a mezainos. Now, in contrast to that, so just so you understand what we're talking about, if the flour is added rather as a ledabek, which was number three over here, the flour is used as a thickening or a binding agent, so then it does not become the main part of the food, and the food will stay whatever bracha it is, whether it's shahakal or adama or eitz, whatever the particular food is. So for example, let me give you an example of three different types of food where flour is added. Licorice flour is added, right, in the ingredients. What is the purpose of that flour? So, truth is, it's not 100% clear, but generally we'll assume that the reason why flour is added into licorice is as a binding agent. It's put in there to thicken it or to hold it together so that it can stick together. So therefore, that's why the bracha, correct bracha on licorice is shehakel. Right, because the flour is not serving the purpose of food, it's just serving the purpose as a binding agent. Another example of where you add flour only to thicken something is very often in a soup, right? Soup that's a cream of this or cream of that. What makes the soup thick is the fact that they added flour, but it doesn't really give it any taste. It just gives it some sort of more of a texture. More of a thickness. But then, there again, it wasn't added for taste purposes. It wasn't added to give it a flavor. It was just added to thicken it up. Some soups, however, the flour does play a role in the flavor of the soup. It's added to give it to change the flavor. In that case, it would change the bracha. Likewise, other grain products will be the same thing. I mean, generally, when you're adding grain itself, like if you're adding oats into a soup, or if you're adding oats into, some people put oats into their latkes, at least that's what I've read. So if you add oats into your latkes, you do add it, you know, to give more density to your latkes, but at the same time, it also gives it a flavor. It changes the taste. So that would change the bracha to mezainos. An interesting thing is gefilte fish, because gefilte fish, they use flour. If you look at the ingredients, that's why, hence, there's such a thing as Pesach de gefilte fish, which is they use potato starch. Now, you would normally, what we would say is that it's only flour is only added to gefilte fish in order to, as a binding agent. Really, the taste you want is fish. You're not interested in any other taste. So the flour is just there as a binding agent, so therefore it's shahakal, which is the bracha we would make on gefilte fish. However, you'll notice that as soon as Pesach is done, people avoid buying the OUP gefilte fish. So obviously there is some sort of a difference in taste and flavor. I don't see such a big difference, but a lot of people don't like it. It just falls apart more, right? It falls apart more. Okay, if it's just falling apart, so then I guess that's just a binding agent, and it's not that doesn't change anything. But I've heard people claim that they just don't like the way it tastes. So if it actually makes a difference in flavor, then it should really create. Then that should make you make a mezainos on your gefilte fish the whole year. Again, that's not really the. Apparently, the given understanding is that that's not really the real reason you add it. It's added just as a binding, so even though it ends up making a difference in flavor, and I guess you get used to one more than the other, but that's not the purpose why it was put in, so that's why gefilte fish remains a shahakal. well, what's other examples of where flour is added as not a binding agent and not as a flavor, but rather too is to give it sustenance? That would mean when you add flour so that the food should be more wholesome, it should be more filling, right? Like you know, you have certain types of meat dishes, or you know, if you would add it to a hamburger or whatever else it is, you add it in order because it just makes it more filling and it makes it more of a food. That also is equivalent to adding for flavor, and in that case it's a mezainos. So to sum it up, we have three rules here. There's latam, that means it's added for flavor. Again, it does not make a difference the quantity of the flour, even though the flour is by far a minority, right? It still makes it a mezainos. Likewise, if it's added lesoiva, it's added to give sustenance, to make it filling, also it's a mezainos. The only exception is being ledabek, when it's added to just as a binding or a thickening agent, or even sometimes it's added to change the color, right? You want to give it more of a milky look. Like in soups, sometimes they add flour for that reason, to change the appearance. That's equivalent to ledabek. The concept is basically very simple, that when it's used as glue, or it's used as to change the appearance, that's not the property of food, right? In other words, that's not the purpose of flour as a food. It's using it rather as another purpose, you know, to do something different than food. To hold something together or to give it a color is not a food quality. Whereas if it's there to fill you up or is there for flavor, that is one of the qualities of food. So wherever flour is used for its food qualities, you know, for its sustenance or for its flavor, then it dominates and it's a mezainos. Whereas if it's only used for other qualities which don't have much to do with the fact that it's food, which is to stick it together or to color it or something like that, it remains to whatever the original bracha is. This also becomes very relevant in cereals, because you'll notice in many cereals the first ingredient will be corn or rice or something like that, or you know, in a situation where it would be a shahakal, like you know, when it's ground up corn or ground up rice, and then it has an ingredient you'll notice of either oat or oatmeal or sometimes wheat, or it's some sort of a grain ingredient. And the question always is, what is the purpose of that grain ingredient? Why is it being added? Is it being added just to hold, to keep the cereal, keep its form, keep its shape? Or is it there because it gives a flavor, or is it because it makes it more filling? So it's very hard to know with these cereals. You have to basically, we don't have much of an option other than to consult the list, the cereal list, because every cereal is different. Every cereal they add it for a different reason. So that's why it's very hard to know. one interesting cereal, not directly related to this discussion, but just as far as cereals are concerned, one cereal that has stumped many Paiskim is corn and rice chex. you know, where it's corn on one side and rice on the other side, it's really impossible to figure out what's the correct bracha for that, because they're equal. They're all 100% equal. It's corn is the corn of that situation apparently is hadama, because it's pieces, or shahakal, and the rice is mezainos. And to make two brachas seems strange, because it is one item. So, last I heard, there's no, the jury is still out on that one. So, I don't know what the bracha on that is. Okay. You could obviously, you know, make a bracha on other things in order to cover that. Now, when we're getting into the next part over here, number four, is situations where you have mezainous ingredients, but yet you don't make a mezainous on them. One, number one, is a granola or granola bars. Now, we'll put granola bars for a second on to the side, and let's talk about granola. Granola is essentially oats, whole oats, or, well, you know, whatever. Generally, we use oats, right? So, let's say whole oats, which are roasted, sort of, in an oven, and then you combine it with some honey and some other ingredients, nuts or whatever else you want to roll into the granola. So the thing is that the only time a mezainous ingredient can have the halacha of a mezainous is only if you've either baked it or cooked it. It has to be either baked or cooked. If it's in its original state, even if you've roasted it, it remains a hadama. So, look, just for argument's sake, if you were to take a kernel of wheat, right? Let's just very simple. You pick the kernel of wheat, you put it in your oven, and you roasted it, and then you chewed on it. The correct bracha will be hadama, because you haven't baked it, which would mean you've mixed it with other ingredients and made a baked item out of it, and you haven't either cooked it, where cooking would mean it cooked sufficiently enough that the pieces of wheat would stick together, like which is what happens when you make oatmeal. So over here by granola, what happens is you take these oats and you roast them, and you have individual oats, which are, you know, then, you know, you add a couple of things. You add some honey or nuts or whatever. So the correct bracha is hadama. So, okay, that's not so complicated. It's hadama. The problem is, what is the correct bracha achrayna? And this is a question that no one knows the answer. And no one, like the Rishayim also, because this is a fascinating thing. There was a discussion amongst the Rishayim that perhaps there's a new version of Al Mechia that never, never heard of. We know about Al Mechia, and we know about Al Paris, and we know about Al Geffen. But they said, here we have an interesting quandary, because we have this wheat, which is one of the Shivas Haminim, and therefore it should require a Me'ein Shalosh, it should require an Al Mechia, but yet you can't make Al Mechia because it's not Mezainos. So they said maybe the correct bracha is al hadama, a new nusach, al hadama pri hadama. And that being the case, it's not like you can go, okay, well, I'll just eat something else and I'll be mitzvah, because you can't. There's no, you have to make the correct bracha. You can't, bar nefesh is not going to work, and al michi is not going to work. So in Shulchan Aruch it says that if you eat a granola, which would be a hadama, or like for another example would be puffed wheat, sugar crisp, right, which are also individual grains of wheat, which have been puffed like popcorn, so you're just eating basically a wheat kernel. Well, you make adama on it, that's clear, but what's the bracha achrayna? You're stuck. You can't make any bracha achrayna. So in Shulchan Aruch it says you should only eat it taychasudi. You should only eat it after you've washed, which obviously defeats the purpose of granola. You know, who eats granola in the middle of a meal? You eat granola when you're trying not to eat a meal. So that it says, though, that's what a Yorah Shemayim should do. But otherwise, if you're not holding by doing that, then you should make a bar nefashis. So the correct bracha when you're eating granola, at least, and or puffed wheat or sugar crisp or whatever other brand of puffed wheat you're eating, the correct bracha is hadama and bar nefashis. Now, granola bars are interesting, because granola bars maybe could be already considered like a cooked product, because you've combined a bunch of ingredients and you've made this mush out of it, and then you put it in an oven. I think they do it at very low temperatures, like 200 or whatever it is, until it sets and becomes hard, and then it's cut into bars. So perhaps we should look at granola bars as like a glorified oatmeal, and then it would be a mezainis. So this is also a big discussion amongst the Paiskim. The way I was Mikabel from Rav Shlomo Miller from Toronto, other Paiskim, is that you do make a mezainis. And you make a mezainis and granola bars plus an al mechia. Once you make a mezainis, the bracha achrayin is al mechia. So granola, individual granolas are hadama and bar nefashis, while a granola bar and oatmeal likewise would be mezainis and al hamechia. Rice cakes, I always made a mezainis on it, because again, the way the understanding is that even though really what it is a bunch of individual puffed rice that's just been pressed together, but they do use water in the process, which is steamed at high temperatures. So it's looked at as you cooked it, so to speak, until it stuck together into the form of a cake. There have been people that have researched the process, and they say it's done differently, and so on and so forth. But generally speaking, most people make a mezainis. The Baruch HaChoyna, obviously, on rice is always Bar Nefashis. And the halacha is that whatever you make a mezainis on, your yoytze, so you're safe making a mezainis on rice cakes. Okay, so to sum this up, granola individually is hadama and bar nefashis. Granola bars is mezainis and alamechia. Oatmeal, mezainis and alamechia. Rice cakes, mezainis and bar nefashis. Puffed wheat and any cereal that's created in that fashion would be hadama and bar nefashis. So these are the klalim that we use to determine when something is mezainis and when something is not, and what the bracha achrona should be. Now let's get into pas haba b'kisnin. So first of all, what's the definition of pas haba b'kisnin, and then we'll see what are the qualifications and what's the difference if something is pas haba b'kisnin or not. So the definition of pas haba b'kisnin is as follows. Pas means bread, haba b'kisnin, which is used, which is brought, b'kisnin means as a dessert or as a appetizer. Kisnin was were things that were served as like after dinner mints. They had these kisnin. So this is little cookies that were served together with the after dinner mints. So that's the definition of pas haba b'kisnin. That's the most simple definition is pas, which was designed with pas, meaning to say it's really bread, which means it's flour and water, and it's dough. And it was baked. So it has all the definitions of bread, but yet it's been made in a certain way, which we'll see, and that changes it from being the main staple of the meal, which bread does, rather to become a dessert or an appetizer. And that's why it turns into pas haba b'kisnin. So the definition of pas haba b'kisnin, and it's important to keep this in mind, because we'll go through the qualifications one by one, and we'll see that it's important that the qualifications should take this bread and change it from being bread, as the bread part of the meal, to that dessert, or the appetizer part of the meal. That's what the qualifications have to do. Because that's the definition of pas haba b'kisnin. Pas haba b'kisnin is something which has all the qualities of bread, but yet is not designed in a way that it's not used as bread, it's used as a dessert. So what are the qualifications? So in Shulchan Aruch it says three qualifications that if any one of them apply, it is a mezainis and not hamaitzi. Number one is if it's stuffed with a filling. An example of that would be if you were... a good example of that is kakash cake, right? What's kakash cake? Kakash cake is the exact same, I mean, at least judging from what people have called on the phone, it's the exact same recipe as challah. You can make kakash cake from challah dough, you could make your challah dough, divide it in half, take half for challah, and use half for kakash cake. Incidentally, you do have a shiloh with the bracha on challah, on hafrashas challah, if you do that, if you divide up your dough into two different purposes, but that's for another time. In any case, so if you took the dough and you stuffed, then you filled it with a cocoa and sugar and formed it into kakash cake. So even though this is really literally the same dough you used to make your challah, and now all you did was you smeared it and filled it with cocoa and sugar, now that you filled it with something, it turned into pas haba b'kisnin. Another example of this would be a knish, which is filled with potatoes, or a pie, which is filled with with pie filling, so on and so forth. Anytime you have a filling in your dough, it by definition now has become pas haba b'kisnin. That's definition number one. Definition number two is where even if there is no filling, but the dough itself has been sweetened. Now the way we hold in halacha is that it has to be sweetened to the point where it really tastes sweet. So over here, they don't have that many examples of that. I remember in Eretz Yisrael, it was a much more popular thing that they had these rolls that were extremely, extremely sweet, and they were even coated with like a sugar coating. I was once served it, and I didn't know what it was, so I bit into it. It's not so apparently not so popular here in America, but I don't even know what they would be called here. But there, in any case, it's where the dough itself has been sweetened to the point where it tastes different. It tastes sweet, and as a result of that, it's not really a bread, but rather it turned into like a donut, almost. Donuts are a little different because donuts aren't baked. So we'll talk about that later. So donuts are different. Croissants also fried, I think, right? But like a croissant type of texture would be a good example of that. Like a croissant has so much oil in it, even if it is baked, it tastes so radically different because of all that oil. It doesn't taste like bread. So that's another example of pasta baba kistin. And the last example of pasta baba kistin, which is an interesting one, is if it has a cracker-like texture, which means it's very hard. Very hard, not necessarily thin, but generally that is the case. So it's hard, and it has a cracker texture, and again, we'll see as we go along. The point of the cracker-like texture was to make it not into a bread, but rather to reduce it to more of a snack, right? Which is what crackers are, right? You've made it into that texture because it's not meant to be a bread, it's meant to be a snack. So again, the three qualifications of pasta baba kistin is A, stuffed with a filling of any sort. We'll see there's a certain exception to that. B is dough that itself has been sweetened or flavored. And it doesn't have to be sweetened necessarily. It could be spicy for the same money. Any sort of change in flavor. Garlic knots, exactly. Very oily, very garlicky. Would change it from a hamaitzi to a mezainis. And three is that it has a cracker-like texture, a hard texture. Now, let's take it apart one by one with different examples. We'll see when it applies and when it doesn't apply. Number one, which is actually number three. Stuffed with a filling, right? So there is an exception to this. The exception is stuffed with a filling only makes it a mezainis when it's a sweet filling, like a pie filling, or sugar, or cocoa, etc. However, if it is stuffed with meat or stuffed with cheese, then the halacha is different. So let's talk about meat. I don't know if I've ever seen something like this, but you know how they have, they make meat knishes, right? They make things like that if they use regular dough, or they have, you know, like you have salmon Wellington, right? Which is, I don't think it's flaky dough. I think it's regular dough. I don't know, I've never made it, but assuming it's regular dough, and you put fish in it, right? So fish, meat, or cheese don't make it into a pasta baba kistin. Why? Because those fillers are the main course of a meal, and the bread or the dough that's surrounding it is intended to be the main filler of the meal, the main portion of the meal. So that, in that situation, the meat or cheese filling hasn't reduced it into a snack. Rather, it just maintained it as the bread of the meal. Now, obviously, there'll be exceptions to that, right? Where, like, you know, you can have hors d'oeuvres that, like a frank and blanc, right? So a frank and a blanc is an hors d'oeuvre. The mezainis that surrounds it will retain its status as a pasta baba kistin because it is a snack. That's what it is. So I'm referring to things where are filled with cheese or meat, but they're the main course. Right, like I said, like a salmon Wellington, and etc. There, the filling does not reduce it to mezainis. It's still a hamaitzi. Now, what's the most common thing that comes to mind when we talk about this is obviously pizza and calzones, right? So pizza, why would pizza be a pasta baba kistin? Why would anybody think pizza is mezainis? You would think pizza is mezainis because it's filled with cheese. But we just said something that's filled with cheese doesn't change its status. It's still a hamaitzi because cheese, and especially in the case of pizza, is the main staple of a meal. So why is it that people used to think, at least, that pizza is mezainis, or Paiskim used to say that pizza is mezainis? So the reason is, there's two things that contribute to that. One side thing that contributes to that is that when they make the dough, they make it with apple juice. Some pizza shops even use only apple juice in their dough. So that helps. But it doesn't help all that much because it doesn't really taste different. The dough, even though they used apple juice, doesn't taste like it's sweet. They haven't made the dough sweet, so it doesn't really help all that much. But secondly, there was a time, or a generation, I should say, that pizza was a snack. My parents, till today, will not eat pizza as a meal. It just doesn't qualify as a meal for them. That's something you can eat between meals or not at all. But it's not a meal. So they never looked at it as a meal. And I think You know, there was some point in history that held true, that most people did not consider pizza to be a meal. And at that point, a lot of the tshuvas were Poskim talked about it, they said, okay, if you eat only one slice, it's a snack, it's not necessarily made as a meal. If you eat two slices, then more people do consider it a meal, so on and so forth. All that, for what I understand, and I think is by now is the consensus of most Paiskim, is obsolete. Because now everybody already treats pizza as a meal. It's a regular meal in most houses, Thursday nights or whenever, Sundays. It's a very set part of the menu now. So it now goes back to the regular rules that we had before, that a cheese filling doesn't make something into a snack. So the fact that it was made with apple juice also didn't really change the flavor. It still tastes like bread. So basically you're eating bread with some cheese on top, like you made yourself a cheese toast, and it's pashut that you make a hamaitzi on it regardless of how much you eat. Even if you take a little bite, you have to make hamaitzi on it. That's the halacha with pizza. And certainly, nothing to talk about, certainly for children, that basically they can eat a half a slice of pizza and that's a meal for them. It certainly makes no difference how much you eat. But even for adults, at this point, being that pizza has become a regular meal, that whole thing doesn't apply anymore. Likewise for calzones, anything, any of those products that you'll find in a pizza shop, almost all of them will be a hamaitzi. The misconception applied to mezainis rolls. Mezainis rolls initially, they were working with this idea that you just because they made it with apple juice, it should be mezainis. But again, since it did not change the flavor and it was almost indiscernible between the difference between mezainis roll and a regular roll. And what's more than that was that it was used in the place of regular bread. It was just the whole purpose of it was just not to have to wash. It had no other purpose. Otherwise, it tasted exactly like bread. Therefore, likewise, it's a hamaitzi. So now, what's interesting is, yeah.
This is all
correct. There is a slight difference for Sephardim, but it ends up not being that relevant. But again, that'll be after. Okay. Now, the interesting thing is with the last klal, with the cracker texture. This is where things get interesting because. There is something that has a cracker texture which we make a hamaitzi on regularly, at least Ashkenazim, and that's a matzah, right? A matzah has a cracker texture, and yet we make a hamaitzi on it. So the concept is really that the reason why we do that is because, like I said before, the point of Passover Kisses is only if this status has reduced it into a snack, whereas by matzah that's very clearly not the case. Sfaradim, interestingly, even though they disagree with this, and they do make a mezainis matzah, but on Pesach, they make a hamaitzi because on Pesach there's nothing else that's bread. So then they agree that the fact that it's a cracker hasn't changed it into a mezainis. But in any case, we hold that matzah is hamaitzi because the cracker status hasn't reduced it into a mezainis. Now, what's interesting is that I haven't seen this on the market too much recently, but there was a time that Tam Tams or so on and so forth was selling these matzah crackers, and they're not so popular anymore. But basically, it was a regular matzah, a regular machine matzah, just in the form of a cracker. So what I used to think, at least, that's a big deal. Who cares what the size is? A matzah is a matzah. But I see that that they quote from Shlomo Zalman and other Paiskim that no, being that it's designed in a way to be a snack, and even though it's the same ingredients as a matzah, that doesn't make a difference. Matzah is hamaitzi because it wasn't designed to be a snack. This, it was designed to be a snack, so therefore it is a mezainis. Toast is another interesting thing. Toast is bread which has been made hard, but again, it's bread. We eat it as bread and we treat it as bread. The fact that it's been made hard does not reduce it to a snack. So it's a hamaitzi, which is pashut. Number seven is four examples of bread which has been made hard, even though it's real bread, but really all that's been done basically has been toasted, but yet it's a mezainis. The four examples are melba toast, which is basically bread that's been sliced up and toasted, bread croutons, which is bread that was baked and toasted and then cut up into pieces and then they put whatever spices they want on it. Bagel chips are pieces of bagel, and pita chips are pieces of pita. So why is it that the bracha on all these four are mezainis? L'chaira, I just said recently before that toast is hamaitzi, right? So the reason is because these forms of bread were originally made for this purpose. That's the difference, right? These four forms, which is melba toast, croutons, bagel chips, and pita chips, were all initially made to be this snack. They were baked originally for the purpose of being a snack.
Because you're not talking about the store-bought ones that the bagel shop takes old bagels.
Right, that would not, or like when you make it at home, right? If you would take pita and cut it up into pieces and bake it into it to make pita chips or bagel chips, that would be hamaitzi. If you take your old bread, toast it, make it croutons, it'll be hamaitzi. It's only the store-bought brand where they bake it originally for the purpose of being a snack. So then it retains that status of a snack and it remains a mezainis. And whenever it originally was hamaitzi, simply baking it and toasting it doesn't change its halacha. That's why it'll be, in that case, it would be hamaitzi. The last case we have over here are soft pretzels, right? So soft pretzels is really regular dough that you would bake challah out of, nothing, or bread out of, nothing different. It's just been formed into a certain shape with this, you know, and I guess they cook it slightly first. It's prepared slightly differently, but not that much different than the way a bagel is prepared. So... I also used to think that the correct bracha on those is hamaitzi. But here also, it does. I see the Pesachim say, no, it's a mezainis. It does have halacha passive of a kistin, and you can make a mezainis on it, unless, of course, it's, you know, like we'll explain soon, it's your supper, and then it has a different halacha. But otherwise, it's a mezainis. So, to sum up, we've said as follows. The definition of passive of a kistin, which again is an important definition to keep in mind, the definition of passive of a kistin is bread which has been designed in a way that is meant to be a snack, dessert, an appetizer, anything other than the main bread of the meal. And there are three ways that can happen. Number one is it's stuffed with a filling, and we've explained that that means really a fruit filling or a sugar or a cocoa or something like that, not meat or cheese, where in most cases that still can be the main course. But otherwise, it was stuffed with a fruit filling or a sugar filling, it's passive of kistin. Number two, the dough itself was sweetened or flavored or made spicy or changed significantly from the typical taste of bread. There also, it becomes a mezainis. And thirdly, is when it has a cracker texture, and we explained that the cracker texture was in the original design in order for it to be a snack. Therefore, matzah, even though it has a cracker texture, is still hamaitzi, but matzah crackers or melba toast, bread croutons, bagel chips, pizza chips, all those, which if they were originally designed as a snack and originally designed to be those particular items, they are mezainis. Whereas if you just took a regular bagel and toasted it and to try to turn it into bagel chips, it would be it would retain its halacha of a hamaitzi. And likewise, we said that pizza and calzones nowadays is considered a regular staple, a regular food. It's considered a meal, and no matter how little you eat of it, you're going to have to make hamaitzi. Likewise, with mezainis rolls. So now, let's just before we discuss what is the halachic status of pasa bovikistin. We'll just discuss what are the things that will not be considered passive avikistin. They will be mezainos, but they won't be passive avikistin. So number one, basically the bottom line is that it has to be baked. If it was prepared differently than typical baking, then it's not passive avikistin. So now there's two examples of that. Number one is when it's dough that's cooked. So that's macaroni, pasta, or anything, you know, anything else that you cook, even though it's dough, even though it's mezainos, it's not passive b'kistin, because bread, in order to be bread, and again, passive b'kistin has to be, number one, pas, it has to be bread, and bread needs to be baked. Bread that is made any other way is not bread. So macaroni, pasta, all those which are cooked are not bread, and therefore they're not passive b'kistin. They are mezainos, because it's not different than oatmeal. It's flour, you know, it's cooked, so it's mezainos, but it's not passive of a kistin. Yeah, go ahead.
Pizza.
Pizza is baked. I salt my own eyes.
Oh, because some people do it fried.
Oh, yeah?
No,
then it would be different. Yeah.
Then it would be different.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a second.
It's not fried in oil, it's just...
Oh, no, so that's different. I'll get to that in a second. Yeah. Baking doesn't have to be in an oven necessarily.
Right.
Cooking here means with water. That's what I should clarify, yeah. So if it's cooked in water, like macaroni, pasta, or, you know, spaghetti, or so on and so forth, it's mezainis, but it's not passive b'kistin. Number two, if it's fried, which is many examples of that, donuts are deep fried, fritters are deep fried, chow mein noodles are deep fried, pancakes, if you use a lot of oil, are considered fried, right? So all those were a lot. It's the same thing. It's not baked. It's fried. It's not passed. It's not bread. It's mezainis, but it's like oatmeal. But it's not. It will never be considered bread. You can eat, as we'll see in a second, you can eat, you know, your to your heart's content of donuts, and you'll never have to wash, regardless, because donuts are not bread. Now, fine, so that's one category. So category number one that'll be accepted from, never be considered Passover Kisten, is when it has not been baked at all. Either it's been cooked in water, or it's been fried in oil. Any of those will not be considered it will only be considered a cooked product. As an aside, it's an interesting thing about this, which will become relevant in a second, is that there's a very significant difference whether it's considered bread or not considered bread outside of the halachas of brachas. And the difference is in regard to kashrus, meaning pas akum is different than bishul akum. You know, whereas you can go to the grocery or you can go to Shalom's and you can buy a brand of bread which wasn't made by, not a Jewish brand, it can be a goyish brand of bread, and as long as it has a hechsher, so you know it's kosher, right, there's no trefa ingredients, so as long as it's kosher, no problem, you can eat it. Why? It's pas akum, it's bread that's made by Gayim. So bread that's made by Gayim are mutter if it's pas palter, if it's bread that's made by a professional baker, that's mutter. That's why you're allowed to buy the OU bread of, you know, whatever those other brands are over there. even though they don't turn on the ovens, they don't do anything like that, that's mutter to eat. Whereas if something is not bread, if something is one of these things, like macaroni, pasta, donuts, chow mein, noodles, then it's not bread, then it has a whole different halacha, then it's bishul akum, then it's just been cooked by Gaim. There is absolutely no way you're allowed to eat something that was cooked by Gaim. So, obviously, if something has a hechsher, so they are aware of this, so if it has a OU and it's something which is not bread, then they must have taken the time and the care to make sure that it wasn't cooked by Gaim and they turned on the fire and so on and so forth. But it's just an interesting thing. The difference over here in Hilchos Brachos makes a very big difference in kashrus. If it's bread, then it can be bought from a guy. If it's not bread, it cannot be bought from a guy. So again, when if something is cooked or fried, it's not bread, and therefore it's not Passover Bekistin, although it's Mezainis. Now, the last case is an interesting one. Here's a case where you can have something that's baked, but yet it will not be considered bread. And the reason is because certain things, even though they're baked, or here it doesn't have to mean necessarily baked in an oven, it can be baked on a frying pan with just a drop of oil, you know, just so it shouldn't stick. So that's also considered baking because there's no other medium except for heat. But it won't be considered bread because it doesn't look like bread, right? A good example of this is a crepe, right? So if you have a crepe which is made of flour and water and very, very thin, and you know, it does not have any of the, does you take it apart, it does not resemble bread, so that's a mezainis, and also it's not possible with kisnin. The big question that's become a very, very big question recently is what's the status of a wrap? A wrap basically is prepared that way. It's a very, very thin dough, and that's baked either in an oven or on a pan or on something flat. So what is a wrap? Is a wrap, does it resemble bread, or does it not resemble bread? It's really, in one hand, it's very thin. On the other hand, it might have some, you know, if you take it apart, it does look a little bit like something that's baked. So that's a very big question. Different Paiskim have said different things. And what's important, again, is that it makes a very big difference to its kashrus, because if you make a mezainos on a wrap, in other words, you consider it to be not bread, then it can't be a non-Jew's brand, right? It has to be a Jewish brand, because then it's bishul akum, right? So you have one or the other, right? And that's not important to us. But in any case, la halacha, most people make a mezainis on wraps. That's what most paiskim agree nowadays, that you could make a mezainis on a wrap, and it's not considered bread, and even if you eat it as the main part of your meal, and you have your meal as a tuna fish wrap, or a salmon wrap, and etc., it's not Passover Bekistin, because it's too thin to be considered bread. Okay, so we've discussed what is Passover Bekistin, and we've discussed what's not Passover Kisten. Anything which is cooked, fried, or too thin to be considered bread is not Passover Kisten. Now, let's see, I think we have just enough time to figure out what is the halacha status of Passover Kisten. What do we have to know about Passover Kisten? why is it different than your regular mezainis? Why is it different than macaroni? What's the difference if it's macaroni or if it's kakash cake? So the difference is as follows. Mainly, what's the most important difference is that when something is pasul babekistin, like kakash cake or so on, then there is a limit how much you can eat before we say that this has already become your bread. Meaning to say, let's take for example, a good example, let's say, would be, a knish, right? Or a Danish, right? There could be a point where you eat enough of them that is your main meal. That's your main meal, the only thing you're eating, and that's serving as your meal. And then the fact that it's been designed as a snack, doesn't make any difference anymore, because you've eaten bread and you haven't eaten it as a snack. You've treated it as your main meal and you've treated it as your bread. So then you have to wash, you have to make a hamaitzi, and you have to bench. So the main difference between pasul babekistin and other forms of mezainis is oatmeal. You can eat as much oatmeal as you want, you'll never have to bench. Pasul babekistin, if you eat a certain amount, which is called a kviya suda, you've eaten an amount which renders it a regular meal, then you have to wash, you have to bench, and hamaitzi, the works. Now, what exactly constitutes a kviya suda? This is very unclear. There's two possibilities. we'll talk amounts, and then we'll talk about what fits into that amount. Some paiskim say the size of four kibayim, which is four eggs, is enough to make it that you have to wash and bench, right? So just to give you an idea, pizza, one slice of pizza has already four bayim in it. So, this, if you get a hold of this sefer here from Rabbi Bodner, I don't know if you have it over here. He calculated that a slice of pizza has 8 or 9 kezesim in it. A kezias is a half of a kebaya. 2 kezesim per baya, or rather, we're saying 4 bayas or 4 eggs is the same as saying 8 kezesim. So a slice of pizza has 8 kezesim, 8 or 9 kezesim. So basically, we've made the whole question of whether you wash on pizza or not, it's moot, because anyway, you're eating for bayim, you're eating a shear of a kviya suda anyway. So that's it's not an awful lot. It's not so much. Let me give you another an interesting example. Cheerios. So Cheerios, 8. If you have 2 cups, and I'm talking about measuring cups, 2 measuring cups worth of Cheerios, that's also 4 bayim. That's the equivalent of 4 eggs. So 2 cups of Cheerios is not so much. Many people put a whole cup of Cheerios into one bowl. So you eat 2 bowls, or let's say a little bit more than 2 bowls, you've already consumed the amount of a kviya suda, so you'd have to wash and bench, which again sort of defeats the purpose. But this is again one opinion in the Paiskim. The Mishnah Berurah's opinion is that although he says you should try to avoid getting into this problem, you should try to avoid eating that much, but the real halacha, he says, that doesn't depend on 4 eggs. It depends on what is considered a normal meal. What is considered a normal meal? Now, a normal meal means a real, honest-to-goodness, sit-down meal, like a supper, a lunch, or a breakfast, if you're the type of person that sits down with a roll and butter and eggs and an Israeli salad and so on and so forth. Not when you're just in a rush and, downing a Danish on your rush out. So in other words, if you eat whatever's the quantity that makes up a real meal, that's the amount that has to be eaten in order to be considered a kviya suda. So let's say that's a lot. That's much more, right? So let's say a supper, right? So a supper will consist of a chicken, a quarter of a chicken and 2 side dishes, let's say, or a soup and something like that. That's a supper, right? So, so if you were to eat this pasul babekistin in place of your supper, you'd have to eat the equivalent of all that food, which is quite a bit. I don't know exactly, I haven't calculated how much it is, but let's say it's the equivalent of 5 bowls of Cheerio. An awful lot, more than you'd ever eat, right? Without getting disgusted. So, so that's not so typical. However, What is interesting is that it doesn't have to be only the amount you're eating could be from other things too, which means like this. Let's say you're eating your chicken, rice, vegetables, and you're eating crackers. in place of your bread. You're eating crackers. So then it all adds up to the amount of a kviya suda. It doesn't have to be solely from crackers. You don't have to eat a whole roll of those snack crackers. It equals to four bain, right? It's a lot of snack crackers. But if you're eating tuna fish, a can of tuna and some vegetables, and you eat 10 or 12 of those snack crackers, so that could be in place of what your bread is for this meal. Whereas if you'd be eating bread, you'd eat one slice of bread, right? Which is, one slice of bread is around 2 kazesim, two or three kazesim, depending on the size of the slice. So you're eating 2 or 3 kazesim of bread, and then you ate your tuna fish and your etc., whatever else you ate in your lunch. So in place of that bread, you had enough snack crackers, which would be equivalent to that much bread, which is not so much. I think it's, let's say, 4 snack crackers is a kazaya, so you ate 12 snack crackers, which is a third of one of those rolls, not that much. So you ate 12 or 13 snack crackers together with the rest of your lunch, that would already be a kviya suda. And you would have to wash and make hamaitzi, which you probably just in the end eat bread instead. So that's something you have to keep in mind. So the way it works is, so again, like this, let's make it 1, 2, 3. Whenever you're eating pasta b'kisa, you have to think like this. Number one, did you eat a tremendous amount of this mezainis? So you're very hungry and you ate 3 danishes. You have to wash and bench. Number two, did you eat it together with a large meal in the place of bread? Right, you ate the snack crackers together with your large meal. You ate regular crackers or whatever, flatbreads, in the place of your bread with a lot of the other, tuna and or chicken or whatever else it is. Then much less is necessary. Then it's just enough that would replace the bread, as much as bread you would have. And three, and this is interesting, is that even if you didn't eat all that much, but it made you full. And here means, truly full, like you're not going to eat now for a while. Yeah, okay, for two hours now. So if you ate enough Cheerios or enough Danishes that you really filled yourself up on it, so then also you have to bench. Because that's Sviya. Right? So again, any one of those situations will make a situation that you have to bench. Number one, if you ate a large enough amount that it's the same amount as a full meal. Number two, you ate it as in place of the bread of a full meal. Three, it filled you up. You ate enough that in your particular, physique, it filled you up. So any one of those cases, you have to bench. And what's interesting here is that even if you start out, let's say, thinking you're not going to eat that much, right? So you start out your meal at supper, and you just want to eat 1 or 2 snack crackers. And then you change your mind, you say, you know what, I'm going to finish the roll. So right then, you have to make a hamaitzi, you have to wash, and you have to bench. As soon as you decide that you're going to eat a shir kviya suda, you have to, the halacha changes, and it requires a different bracha, it requires washing and benching. So, okay, to sum it up, what's unique about Pasuk B'Kisnin is that once you have a kviya suda, once you've been kviya suda on Pasuk B'Kisnin, once you've made it into the bread of your meal, you have to wash, bench, and hamaitzi. And the amount of a kviya suda, the way we hold, is determined by 1, 2, or 3. Number one is if you ate a large amount equivalent to a whole meal. Number two, if you ate a large meal of other things and ate these pasta b'kisnin crackers as the bread of the meal, and you ate equivalent to what the bread would be. So, like, if typically you would eat 2 slices of bread together with the meal, you ate crackers equivalent to 2 slices of bread, you would have to wash. And thirdly, is if you ate enough, even if you just ate crackers, or you just ate a Danish or whatever, if you ate enough of it that it really filled you up, like made you feel full, like after a supper, you ate that much of it, then also you have to wash and bench.
When do you wash?
As soon as you make that decision. No, so
no,
if
wait,
it's...
like you're eating.
What?
And you realize you're very full.
Oh, no, so then that's after the fact, yeah. Then you just bench. But you do bench. Yeah, regardless of what bracha you made to begin with, once you've eaten that much, you will have to bench.
You just don't wash.
Correct.